This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one man band. I'm the number one fan.
Long for some reason, you've been on my mind, so I decided to call you whenever I could find the time. It must have been in high school when I saw you last. If you believe it's been all these years, time sure went by. To call your mother to find out just where you were. She gave me your number, said to say hello for her. How do you like Chicago? I'm still living in the East. Do you have any children now? We've got two. About to tell you, it's gonna be a big surprise. Something great has happened, something that changed my life. I gave my heart to Jesus, asked him to forgive my sin. You won't believe the difference since I followed him. Tell me, why are you laughing? Was it something that I said? Tell me, why are you laughing? Would you rather have me hang up instead? We were always best friends. I never thought you'd laugh at me. Wait, what are you saying? What is it that you want me to see? Heart to Jesus just as soon as you came home from the war, and you've been thinking of calling me, but you put it off a year or more. You were always my best friend, now you're my brother too. We got to get together soon. Welcome to episode 150 of our podcast, Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. The song that you just heard is called Phone Call. I wrote that song back in the 1980s, and it's actually based on a true story. I'm sitting here with Brian Hoogenboom, who played on that song back in 2014. This was before we had our current band together. Just a bunch of musicians got together with me, and we played at a little coffee house in Florence, South Carolina, called Lula's. We have a band now, though, and Mr. Hoogenboom plays wonderful guitar. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Lawrence.
You ever heard that song, Bony Fingers? This is an old country song.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I think about our band. There was a country song that would say, I don't think I'm going to embarrass myself and sing it, but the line said, work my finger to the bones. What do you get? Bony fingers. Well, we've been working our fingers to the bone all year for a concert we're going to do November 19th. This is the only concert that Damascus Road and myself are going to do for the whole year of 2023. But we're going to have that special concert November 19th here in Florence. I hope you'll all come out. The concert will be a journey through the life of Jesus. All the songs are about stories about Jesus in the Bible that the Lord has given me to write in music over the last 53 years. It's going to start at 6 o'clock p.m. November 19th. That's a Sunday night at Abundant Life Church. The address is 3030 South Irby, I-R-B-Y, Street in Florence. Brian, you want to say anything about the concert or what we're doing?
It's a musical presentation of the life of Christ from Genesis all the way to the Ascension. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great. We've been, like you say, we've been spending a lot of time working on it, and it's really starting to come together. So I think it's going to be a really good show.
Yes, about 18 songs, and we're not going to talk much, so I'll just tell you that right now. But it's been 53 years in the making. The first song was written in 1970. That was a song called Baptism Song. And the last song was written last week, so we're coming right down to the wire. So please come. I hope we have a good crowd, because all we're going to do is look at Jesus. You can't go wrong doing that. I want to play a song now before we get into our interview called Ishmael. I wrote this song in the last year. I am part of an international prayer meeting every week for a couple of hours every Thursday morning. And people from all over the world gather together, and we pray for believers who are being persecuted and believers in other parts of the world who are not being persecuted. But God has just given me a great burden for those people living in countries where it's illegal to own a Bible or illegal to be baptized or to become a Christian. And there was a situation in the last year where a person was jailed because they found a Bible in his son's belongings, and they interviewed the father, and the father would not deny that he follows Jesus. So there was a real chance that he was going to be executed. God stepped in a miraculous way and spared his life. But these kinds of things are going on every day. And so this inspired the song Ishmael. Somebody said, why did you write the name Ishmael? Because this was an Arab person, and Ishmael is considered the father of the Arab race. So here's the song Ishmael.
His name is Ishmael, and he sits in a prison cell. Tomorrow a judge will tell what the future holds, what it holds for Ishmael. He's accused of a serious crime. He's been arrested for a second time, and time is running out. And tomorrow they will decide if he lives or if he dies. So I say a prayer tonight for Ishmael. Ishmael, they found a Bible in his home, something illegal for a person to own or to turn to Christ. Ishmael. He chose to walk the narrow path, and someone took a photograph the day he was baptized. He's been warned and he's been fined. He refuses to change his mind. So I say a prayer tonight for Ishmael. Tonight his wife will weep, and his child will find it hard to sleep. So I say a prayer tonight for Ishmael.
My guest on the show tonight is my grandson, Dalton Rhodes, who was a student at Western Carolina University in Cullowhee, blah, blah, blah. I said, almost said New York. Okay, can I just keep talking? My guest tonight on the show is my grandson, Dalton Rhodes, who was a student at Western Carolina University in Cullowhee, North Carolina. He's in his first year of grad school. Dalton has been on this show more than anybody else. I love to be with him. He's a lot more than a grandson to me. He's really one of my best friends. A few weeks ago, we did a podcast episode together called Wisdom 101, where we looked at what Solomon said in the book of Proverbs about keys to gaining wisdom. So tonight, we're going to talk about what Solomon said in the book of Proverbs about money and financial affairs. So let's go to a conversation that Dalton and I had on October 4th, 2023.
Big Pa, what is up, dude?
Hello, young man. I want to know how you're doing, and we're going to take a look at the Proverbs of Solomon again.
I'm in grad school now. I've done it. The Lord's helped me get here. I actually, grad school is really similar to undergrad, except for we actually like do clinicals now, where like I actually have like a caseload of like a few kids. And so I'm actually like helping real people with like real speech and language disorders and stuff like that.
Can you say six thick thistle sticks five times real fast?
I feel like you're trying to make me cuss, Big Paw.
No. It's not one of those ones that slide in a cuss
six
word.
Six thick thistle sticks. Six
faster
thick thistle sticks.
Faster.
Six thick thistle sticks. Six thistle sticks.
So you're leading a Bible study now. Is that right?
Oh my gosh. Yes, dude. It's going so well, too.
That makes me feel so young when somebody calls me dude. Say that again.
Dude. Was that term invented? Was that term around whenever you were my age?
When that word was in fashion in my age, it was like a city slicker who tried to act like a cowboy. They had these things called dude ranches. That was where, you know, city people, businessmen could come and dress up like cowboys and ride a horse. That's what a dude was.
What, was a city guy that dressed up like a cowboy?
Kind of, yeah.
Tried to act country? Well, that doesn't seem very, that doesn't seem like a good thing you'd want to be called in that light.
But I like it that you call me that. So, dude, what's going on with your Bible study?
Yeah,
Oh my gosh. No, it's doing so good. The Lord is like really, really like doing some great stuff in this Bible study. Last night was our third week in a row doing it, and we have tripled numbers. The first week, you know, we did it at the library on campus, and we only had three people show up, besides me and my co-leader. And it went really good, but only three showed up. And last night was the third week, and dude, we had 10 people besides my co-leader and I.
Wow.
So and like a lot of the people that are growing are just from people part of the Bible study inviting their friends. And it's really cool because you know, being the leader of a small group, you get to kind of mold it around the way you want it to be. And so I'm like, I'm the leader of this thing. I can do whatever I want to, whatever I think would be cool. So what we do is
now don't become a dictator.
No, I'm not gonna become a dictator. But it is fun just being the leader of it and being able to do like fun stuff, if you want to do it. Like we all meet at my apartment. I'd go to campus, everybody piles up in the bed of my truck, and then we all drive over here.
So you just load up a bunch of kids in the back of your truck and drive over.
Oh, huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing is that we're going to start having to stop doing that because we have so many kids. They can't fit back there. We have to take two cars to pick people up from campus. We cook for them. We have a guy that plays the guitar, and so we do some worship before we get started. And then we get into Romans. We're in Romans right now. We're about to start Romans 4. And there's the conversations go super well. Everyone's like everybody's talking. Like everyone's just like constantly like it's hard to get past a single chapter during the Bible study because everyone just like talks so much about each verse. But it's really cool though because this guy who I used to live with, he used to be my roommate. You know, I've been trying to get him to come to church with me for years now, and he's always kind of been like, yeah, I've been busy doing this. I can't really come. But I invited him to the Bible study, not knowing if he would actually come, like show up. But, I mean, he's been to two of them now and he loves it.
That's so great.
And he actually in the group chat, he's in the group chat today. He surprised because, he actually put in the group chat. He's like, Hey guys, I've been reading ahead and I had this crazy question about this. And he put like this huge paragraph, like explaining this like crazy, like theological, question about the Bible that he had.
He's never really been cool to church much either, has he, anywhere?
No, he's never really been much of a church guy. But I think that like just this community of Christians is the main thing drawing a lot of these people in.
Well, that's great.
So it's not always their ambitions to know about God. Sometimes it's just, you know, simply having a community around you.
That's so great. There's a lot going on college campuses. Have you heard about what happened at Auburn University a few weeks ago?
I don't think so. What happened?
Well, you know, Auburn, that's a big college in Alabama in the SEC. They had a revival, and a bunch of students came to Christ. And I think one guy on the football team told his coach that he wanted to get baptized just spontaneously. Well, they go out to this little pond area, and 200 students got baptized just decided on the spur of the moment
that
I'm
going
to get baptized.
Way.
So that's great to hear stuff going on your campus. You told me not long ago that one of the first books in the Bible you started reading was Proverbs. I thought that was very interesting because your grandmother and myself, we like Proverbs a lot. We read it every day. And so you, why do you like Proverbs?
Well, when I first gave my life to God, I hated reading. I'm still not a huge reader. And Proverbs, you get a lot out of just a little bit, you know? It's not like you have to read these huge passages to get a lot of wisdom and a lot of practical life advice. It's just like these little like tiny like sentences. And each sentence was like really powerful. And I was like, wow, this is smart. This is good.
So you and I did a podcast. We called it Wisdom 101, and we dealt with what Solomon had to say about how to obtain wisdom and what are some of the keys of wisdom. Now, let me say something about Solomon, which you know. There was a song years ago that says, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. And Solomon when he was hot, and I mean as far as wisdom now, when he was hot, he was hot. But when he was not, he did some terrible, foolish, sinful things. And he's just sort of an enigma, like a riddle. How can somebody that smart leave God and start worshiping idols and throwing babies into a fire to worship another God? I mean, it's just crazy. But yeah, we're dealing with the good Solomon, the wise Solomon, and the Proverbs are extremely wise. He was the wisest guy on earth, but then he became the biggest fool on earth. So anyway, I did a whole podcast on that. So we want to look at a few things that Solomon wrote about money. What do you think about money?
I love it. I love it. I just want as much as I can get, and I never want to quit. That's my motto in life.
I'm going to have to read you a verse out of Timothy. It says, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Why do you love money?
Do what?
Why do you love money? You said you love money.
Oh, why do I love money? Well, okay, that was a joke. I don't just sit here like, oh, I love money so much. Like it's not like my top thing I love in life. But I will say, you know, you'd be stupid to not at least admit that, yeah, like money like definitely makes life easier. And one thing, a lot of people think that verse in the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. You hear that over and over and over again. But that's not even what it says. It's, like you said just a second ago, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil.
So, and even in the Greek language, it's the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. It's not all evil.
Yeah,
but what it's really saying, it's the root of all sorts of evil, which is true. People kill people over the love of money. They steal over the love of money.
Yeah, whenever you have that kind of, I think like whenever like you have that like in your heart, like that love of money in your heart, like that's whenever it becomes an issue.
Paul actually said, I've learned the secret of being content in whatever state I am. He said, I've learned to live with much, and I've learned how to live with little. And that's when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Which, by the way, I think we'll stop right here and play that song. You have a wood burning you made for me. It's here in my office right now. I'm looking at it. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What that means is he will help me in whatever situation I'm in. So let's play that and come back.
I've been well and I've been sick. I've been first and the last one picked. I've had plenty and I've gone without. I've had faith and I've had some doubt. I've had friends and I've stood alone. I've been weak and I've been strong. I've been slandered and I've been praised. Been admired and called a disgrace. One thing I know, one thing I see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've had potential to reach the top. Been a has-been, I've been a flop. I've been ripped off and I've been blessed. But at this point in my life, I've got to confess. One thing I know, one thing I see, I can do all things through
since May.
I've been through the fire and I've been through the flood. I've learned from it all. It's worked out for my good. In everything I've ever had to face, God gave the grace to see me through.
You're listening to our podcast, Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. And on this episode tonight, we're having a conversation between my grandson, Dalton Rhodes, and myself regarding the wisdom of Solomon in the book of Proverbs. The subject matter tonight is what Proverbs says about money. So let's go back to our conversation that we had just a couple of nights ago. Do you still have your coin collection?
Yeah, I do actually have my coin collection still.
So what's the most interesting coin you have? What's the oldest coin you got?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I'd say one of the most interesting ones I have, way back in the day in the 1800s in America, we used to have all sorts of different types of coins. We didn't just have pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters. We actually had half pennies. Mm-hmm. We had 3 cent coins, things like that. So I'd say probably one of the most interesting coins I have is this half cent coin from, I believe, like 1806 or something like that. It was half of 1 cent, and it's about as big as a half dollar.
Let's talk about a few things about Solomon. Well, the first thing that I noticed that Solomon says is, it's not the first thing he said chronologically, but I want to start out with this point, is that he wanted to make it clear that money isn't everything. There are some things that are more important than money. Can you read me Proverbs 16:16? And you're in the new NIV?
Yep, I'm in NIV. Is that 16:16?
Yeah.
All right, I got it. It says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, or to get insight rather than silver.
Okay. So wisdom's more important than having money.
Than having gold.
More money. Gold is money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 money.
Okay. 22:1 says, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. So I remember my mother used to drill that into me. Don't lose your good name. Nothing's more valuable than a good name. Oh, what about this one? Here's a good one. Proverbs 30, verse 7 through 9. I've got it in my Bible, so I'll read it.
Okay.
7 through 9, he says, this is another man talking. His name was Agur. Well, how would you like to be named Agur? He says, two things I ask of you. Do not refuse me before I die. He's talking to God now. Keep deception and lies far from me. He said, I want to be honest. And then he says this, and tell me what you think. Give me neither poverty nor riches. In other words, I don't want either one. Don't give me poverty and don't give me riches. As he says, feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. So what do you think of that? You might want to read it in your translation.
Well, yeah. My translation says really similarly to the way yours does. He's basically saying like, look, like I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be super rich. I want to be he wants to be a little middle area where he's just, you know, cause there's problems with both, you know, poverty and wealth. We can go off and name all the problems with poverty. Struggle more in life. It's harder. There's more susceptible to like just little things like diseases and hunger and things like that. So yeah, poverty is not good. But also there's an issue with being rich too. And I think it talks a lot about in other parts of the Bible where like whenever they get super rich, they don't really like, sometimes they just feel like they have everything they need. And so they're not really searching for God, you know?
Yeah.
So they're just like, yeah, I've got everything I need. I've got plenty of money. I'm living comfortably. And sometimes, when you're sitting comfortably, that's where the devil can work the most. Whenever you don't really have anything, going on when, like that you're struggling with or anything like that.
That's really true. I remember there was an old guy that I heard about. This is way back in the 1920s, but I heard him talking about him. He, when things were going really well, he started going around out in the country. Now, this is South Carolina, saying, hey, there ain't no God. I've already figured that out. There ain't no God. And everybody said, don't say that. Well, there ain't no God. Well, one day he was laying in one of those iron beds, you know, with the iron cut old time beds. And lightning came through and hit the floor near the bed. And all of a sudden, oh, Jesus, I need you, Lord. I love you, Jesus.
Yep. That's funny. I've also seen like vines or not vines, just an old term, like TikToks, where it's like me suddenly becoming a Christian or like atheist suddenly becoming a Christian when they're about to get in a wreck.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus, take the wheel. That was the song. Now, let's move to another one. Read to me Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10.
All right. Let me get there. 3 verses 9 and 10.
Yeah.
All right. They say, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine.
Okay. Here's a principle that Solomon talked about. The first part of your income, give it to God. That's a wonderful principle. A lot of times we wait till we pay all the bills and see what we've got left over or whatever. But Solomon talks a lot about being generous. We're going to talk about several verses on down here in a minute. But one of the things he said, the first fruits of your income, make it a priority to give God what is due. Now, in the Old Testament, Solomon didn't talk a lot about this, but this was understood in the Old Testament. And I believe in the New Testament, Jesus even taught about it. He said it was not the most important thing, but it's still something we should do. The Old Testament, the way they handle money is you gave 10% to the temple, to the Lord. That was to take care of the priest who didn't own land and didn't have an occupation other than the temple. So they would take 10%. That goes all through the Bible. So another, which is a fair way, really, in a way. If you make a dollar, give a dime. If you make $10, give a dollar. Just take 10% off. And that was just kind of what was required. But then on, in addition to that, they were told, be generous, give to the poor, give above that amount, just as you feel led, as you're moved to do it. So the way they operated was automatically take the 10% out and then give money as you see fit. And I was taught that from a little boy, and it's always been good in my life. But what that verse says is there's a principle, you know, whether it's a tithe or whatever, when you get a paycheck, this is my opinion, I think this is what Solomon was saying, take the first fruits. Like, these were farmers he was talking about. Take the first fruits and give a portion to God, and then, you know, do the rest. So it's a good way of living to just, when you get paid, take whatever money out that you're going to give to God or to the poor or whatever. And that first promise is, read it again, that if you do that, God will help you recoup the money, right?
Yeah.
Read
well,
it again.
One thing I'll
go ahead.
Read it again. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine.
Okay, what were you going to say?
So I kind of want to stay here for a second because, you know, just from being a college student for a few years, and I've heard a lot of arguments that people that don't believe in God talk about. I've heard a lot of people just say, like, oh yeah, the church just wants your money. It's just a cash grab. A lot of people try to denounce the Bible and try to denounce Christianity by saying, oh yeah, in the past, you know, the Catholic Church, they try to sound all smart. And like, they know like the history and stuff. They're like, oh yes, the Catholic Church way back in the day, they actually just created this Christianity stuff in order to control people and to gain money and to gain wealth from people. And
I like your accent, by the way.
Yeah. That's my fancy accent. But yeah, so like, that's one thing is, I guess that's a question that I'd like to just kind of get out there is, what would you say to people that are like, dude, what's the point? Like if our church is just trying to take my money just because they want to get rich, like God doesn't need money. Well, why is this? Well, why are churches wanting my money?
Okay.
Are they evil?
Well, some churches do spend money on the wrong things to, you know, try to build their little kingdom. It's good to know what the church's philosophy is about money. But one thing about money is you have to pay people a living wage if they're full time. That money doesn't just fall out of the sky. That was why they started it, one of the reasons in the Old Testament, to take care of those who were ministering. Bible says, if Paul said, if we sow spiritual things into you, it's very appropriate that you sow financial things into us. But if a church is trying to just get rich, and then I can see the point. I do see the point. But if you look at a lot of churches, they send money to missions. They send money all over the world. Mm-hmm. They take care of, they send money to ministries here in America that are looking after orphans and things like that. But it's kind of ridiculous to think that a church can operate without money. I knew a guy one time.
Yeah.
I knew a guy one time. He said, we don't need buildings. And this was in Massachusetts now. He said, we can meet outside. We can meet in a circus tent or something. Yeah, it's 10 below zero.
That I was about to say, man, it gets pretty cold up there.
But it costs money to have a place to worship. So I think that's kind of a bogus argument.
Yeah, I obviously agree with you. I just wanted to kind of raise, just kind of talk about some of the things that I hear other people say. And I mean, one thing I found interesting with my church, and I love my church. My church is amazing. definitely not bad mouthing it. But one thing I found interesting is my church does not pass around the offering bucket anymore. They make that very clear every single sermon. But they provide ways that people can give through like the app or like writing checks, but they don't pass around the offering bucket anymore. And I'm over here left to kind of wonder why that is. And I think that it might be because of the negative connotation.
I guarantee you it is.
That come from it.
When I pastored, we put a box with a slot at the very back of the room. It was there. Everybody could see it. But we never made a big deal. And I remember some people visited and said, you know, that's not the way to do it. You need to pass the plate. But it was for that very reason that we felt, hey, we don't want anybody saying this church emphasizes money. So there's the box. And people will give as they feel led. And we never had any financial problems for a long, long, long time. So, but Solomon was really not talking so much about the tithe in most of his verses, but he was talking about being generous to less fortunate people. So this is the third point here tonight. We talked about some things are more important than money. We talked about giving God the first fruits. But he's very clear that God is very pleased when we help poor people or we help people more fortunate, more unfortunate. I want to read you just a few things. And I'm in the New American Standard Version, Proverbs 3, 27, 28. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. What do you think of that?
Well, I can definitely say that I'm definitely guilty of that. Even with little stuff, like just simply, you know, like I think one of the biggest things is just reaching out to people, like people, you know, the they'll call me or like they'll say, hey, can I get you something to eat? Or like, hey, I want to talk to you. And sometimes I'll just be like, yeah. And I'll like put it off, even though I could do it then. Just little ways to help people that I know could be beneficial in the moment. But I am either tired or just don't feel like it in the moment. I'll put it off. Most of the time, like I just never do it. So I think that's one of the reasons why God's saying, like, you know, like don't say you'll do it later if you have the power to act now, because, well, for one, you might just not get to it later. Like you might just procrastinate. But if you have it, if you can help them now, then do it. Like there's no reason to wait and procrastinate on it.
Yeah.
But also with helping the poor, that's one thing that I also can say that like I've been guilty of kind of neglecting, and I see that. There's a lot of negative connotation around homeless people. You know, you hear from everybody, from a lot of people, like, hey, like, you know, like homeless people are crazy, you know, it's dangerous. Don't really go around them. Also, you hear a lot of people saying like, oh, I've seen so many homeless people just begging for money. And then they get up and then they just have a normal job and a normal life. And they're just trying to get money from people. They're totally fine. Or I've seen homeless people just beg for money and they only use that money to go get drugs and alcohol.
Yeah,
and I've heard all that stuff, and honestly, I've seen some of it to be true. Working at a grocery store, you see a lot of locals or a lot of regulars, the homeless people, and they'd come in with the exact amount of money for just a beer, and they'd give it to you, and that's how they lived. And I think I feel bad for this. I'll go ahead and say it on the podcast, but this was a couple months ago, and I had just got to Silva right next to my college. I was going back to my college and I was on a long drive all the way from Wilmington. So I was in the car for like 6 hours. I was tired. I was ready to get back. I was a little bit like moody and I was at a stoplight about 10 minutes from my college. And this homeless woman, she scared me. My window was down and she walked right next to my car and she said, excuse me. And she, oh, Big Pop, I feel so bad. She had real raggedy hair. She looked a little bit scary. And I literally got so scared. I said, Jesus. And I started cranking my window up just out of like just out of reflex, you know, like oh gosh, that's why I rolled the window up. And she said, that's rude. And I was like, oh, you're right. I'm sorry. How can I help you? And she was asking if I had anything. I really had no money. So I was like, no. But yeah, I just think that it's, and a lot of Christians kind of talk this way too. And I think a lot of it, that is one thing that's really neglected.
Well, you did say first. Jesus when you slammed the window in her face.
I did say Jesus, but no, she scared me. She did. My window was down. She was right next to me. And she said, excuse me. And like, she was like, oh, it startled me.
So here's a verse, concerning being generous to the poor. This is Proverbs 11:24-26. It says, there is one who scatters. And by that, it means a person sowing seed, that he's sowing seed, he's giving, he's being generous. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results in want, or it results in lack. It says, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. So there again is a promise. If we're generous to the poor, the Bible says God will help us. He will help recoup what we lost. I know some people think that's weird, but it's right in there. Here's another one, Proverbs 14:21. He who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. 14:31 says, he who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. So when we're gracious...
We're really called out right now for rolling that window up.
Well, take a trip to Silva again. She's probably still there. Do you think it's time for a song?
I think it's time for a song.
Okay. Reach into your mental song catalog, Lawrence Tuning song catalog, because we can't play but 29 seconds of other people's music. Did you know that? The copyright laws will not let us play on a podcast a whole song. That's why people...
I was about to pick something by Phil Wickham or something like that. I can't even say that. Phil Wickham. There we go.
Wickham.
Speech therapist.
Well, Wickham. Mr. Wickham is not going to be heard unless we play. Hey, give me a Wickham song and I'll play 29 seconds of it.
Honestly, I can't even...
If you go to 30 or 30...
I just know the name. Everyone talks about that name.
Oh, you don't even know a song by him.
Well, I can look in my playlist right now, in my Christian playlist.
Okay, we'll play 29 seconds of Phil Wickham. But on my show, we have to play me. I know people might get tired of me, but that's the way it goes. I own my songs, most of them. So I can play them.
That's right. That's right.
But if I play 29, 30 or 31 seconds, they're going to shut me down. So
shut down the
hey,
whole
I even know a song by Phil Wickham.
No, tell me. Delete all of your episodes. Do what?
We're wasting time on Phil Wickham. Give me a song.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I got a Bada Balloons. How about that? Bada Balloons.
Bada Balloons. What is that? Bag of bones. What did you say?
Battle belongs.
So when I'll fight on my knees with my head lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
I want to look at one other thing, and then we're going to look at a different subject next week that has a lot to do with money. The wise use of money is this: give generously to God and to people in need. Okay?
Okay.
Spend money on your needs. You got to eat. You got to pay the rent. Got to pay the electric bill. And it's okay to have some money just to enjoy. Ecclesiastes talks about that. It's fine to enjoy what you've got, but you also need to save. If you do those four things, you'll be pretty good. Save, give, spend on your needs, and enjoy what's left over. How do you like that?
I love that. I think that's great advice.
Okay. So let's talk about saving. As saving is kind of hard to do when you don't make much money, but it's good to get in the habit of trying to look ahead. So let's read Proverbs 6:6-8. We're talking about Solomon saying that we need to look ahead and save money too. 6.
All right, Proverbs 6:6-8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways to be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest.
Okay. What do you think of that one?
I mean, it's pretty clear. It's pretty straightforward and simple. You know, God made all the animals. God made all the bugs and all the creatures on the earth. He intimately knows all of them. And then he's kind of comparing what we should do to the ants, which I think is really cool that, you know, the ants know how to do that. But like, the, you know, storing stuff up for the winter. It's like, even if the ants are doing this, like, you should do this too, you know?
Yeah.
These lowly creatures are doing this and being wise and storing up their food. You should do it too.
Read chapter 21, verse 20.
Chapter 21, verse 20 says, "The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down."
So, fools,
I mean,
spend every dime they've got. That's basically what it's saying.
Yeah.
Fools just consume. Just whatever they got, they just spend it all. And it's foolish because times come where you need that little extra money. So these are just little words from Solomon about money. So we talked about four things. Money's not everything. There are certain things like a good reputation, wisdom, that are more valuable than just having money. We talked about giving God the first fruits, the best of your income. We talked about being generous to people who are needy and not rolling up car windows in people's face.
Yeah. You got to repent of that one.
And we talked about saving. That's just wise. The wisest thing a person can do, though, is to give their life to God.
Amen.
And let God be the number one thing in their life, Jesus, the Son of God. That's the way it works. And I love the Proverbs. I quote it every day. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, even with money matters. I put that in there. It's not in there, even in money matters. But trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will make the path straight. Yep.
You're speaking straight facts right now, Big Paw.
Thank you for listening to my conversation with my grandson, Dalton Rhodes, about the wisdom of Solomon in the book of Proverbs regarding money matters. Dalton will join me again next week when we look at what Solomon said about the work ethic. We started with a song tonight that I played with a band in January 2014 at a little coffee house called Lula's here in Florence. I want to end with another song we did at that concert, and this is called All or Nothing. Thank you for listening to our show. Hope you'll join us next week. God bless.
I don't wanna be a part-time believer. disciple on the side. I don't want to give just part of my life. Gotta be all or nothing. I don't want to quit in the middle of the journey. I don't want to run in the middle of the flight. I don't want to give just a part of my life. Gotta be all or nothing. Jesus never said it would be easy all the way. He never said there wouldn't be a price to pay. He said, count the cost before you start. Follow me with all your heart. I don't want to serve at the earliest convenience. I don't want to swerve to the left or the right. Be all or it's gotta be nothing.
Yeah.